Psalm 23 is where we'll be for the next 3 weeks. Counting today, I'm going to be using the New King James Version just because I love the way it reads. As you're turning there, just a couple things I want to point you to or remind you of. One is, if you ever have questions, and of course myself and the staff are around before, during, and after every service, but if there's some questions related to the sermon, something going on in the church, or if you need counsel or prayer, you can always text that to the number on the screen anytime. Several of you texted some great questions last week, which I appreciate and want to keep that going and make it available to you. Also, the more I'm diving into Psalm 23, even though it's something I've known all my life, finding it's like an onion. There's just so many layers to it, and the more I take the layers off, I start crying. You know, it's just like an onion. And so I'm wanting to help you with processing it more. And so what I'm planning to do, what I've done some and want to do more over these next 3 weeks, is just to give you some practical helps, some evaluative tools to help you evaluate things God may be doing in your heart using Psalm 23. And I'm going to be posting those on my blog, and so you're welcome to go to that, mattpearsononline.com, if you want to dive a little bit deeper into Psalm 23. Speaking of diving deeper, there's two books I want to recommend to you. One is by Philip Keller. It's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. If you want to do any sort of deeper dive into Psalm 23, I cannot recommend this book enough. It is as it says. Philip Keller was a shepherd for a while, and he, taking his cues from his time as a shepherd and looking at Psalm 23, he just makes it very, 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 very practical and helpful for us today. As we know, David, the author of Psalm 23 was a shepherd, and so it's a lot of beautiful, great stuff in there, and I'll probably refer to it a lot over the next 3 weeks, but I commend it to you. And one more book I recommend to you if you want to go deeper into Psalm 23 and just think more and more about it than you ever imagined thinking more and more about it, then I commend Dallas Willard's Life Without Lack. He takes the title based off the first verse, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And so I encourage you to get your hands on that if you're interested in reading a bunch, okay? Because he's got long chapters and he's very wordy, even more wordy than your pastor. But he's got really good stuff to say, and I'm working on it. I do want to, before we read Psalm 23 together, there's a quote that Willard gives in the introduction I want to give you, because it just really struck me, and I want to use it as we get into this series. He writes this. He says, "The words of the 23rd Psalm are among those things that people profess to believe. Many can recite the 23rd Psalm from memory, including people who don't believe much of anything about God. Some have learned the Psalm purely as poetic literature. But far too few have experienced in their own lives the vivid reality described by the psalmist. Unfortunately, 'The Lord is my shepherd' is a sentiment carved on tombstones more often than a reality written in lives." Let's stand together and read Psalm 23 and ask God to make it a reality. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Father, I've known this psalm my whole life, for which I'm grateful. I've read this psalm more times than I can count. I've memorized this psalm on different occasions. That's why that quote stung. Because it's one thing to know the words, it's another thing to know the essence of what was going on in David's heart when he wrote it. Father, I don't believe David was lying when he wrote this. I believe he really experienced soul rest. And I pray it for me, and I pray it for every person in this room. Would you supernaturally get us to the place where we can say, you are our shepherd, we shall not want. Please do it. For our good and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, you can be seated. Have you ever asked yourself, am I the only one? Have you ever thought, am I going crazy? Have you ever thought, why did I do that again? Does everybody think this way? Why am I freaking out? Am I nuts? If I let somebody know what I'm thinking right now, they're just gonna, You ever thought that? You're in really good company. We're wired to be a little pitiful. Did you know that the Bible refers to humans as sheep? That's not a compliment. It's not. They might be cute, but that's not a compliment. Sheep are dumb. D-U-M, dumb. Thank you for the three of you who got that. David does something unique in this psalm. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. So he's putting himself under someone's authority as shepherd, which means he's calling himself a sheep. Not a compliment. Sheep are helpless. Sheep are pitiful. Sheep are stubborn. Sheep are stupid. Sheep do not want to be led, are just flat out helpless. And yet that's how the Bible refers to humans, and it's really how David's calling himself in this psalm. So I hope in a way, even though it's a little dig at the human nature, I hope it's encouraging in the sense that if you're thinking, am I going crazy, you're in good company. Because we're like sheep. As a matter of fact, Keller in his book said this about sheep. He says, sheep do not just take care of themselves, as some might suppose. They require more than any other class of livestock, endless attention and meticulous care. It is no accident that God has chosen to call us humans sheep. Our mass mind, or our mob instincts, our fears and timidity, our stubbornness and stupidity, our perverse habits are all parallels of profound importance. In other words, he said, as I've been a shepherd most of my life and seen how crazy dumb sheep are, I've noticed that I'm just like it. I've heard it said before that you don't go to the circus to watch trained sheep. You know why? Because you can't. You can't train sheep. You can train tigers, you can train elephants, you can train monkeys, you can train dogs, but you can't train sheep. You know why? They're dumb. And so, first of all, take a deep breath. God made you to need to be guided. You're not going to figure it out on your own. He made you like a sheep, and sheep need a shepherd. Now, David says some profound things in this psalm. Things that sheep just don't naturally do. I mean, verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Have you ever seen a sheep lie down in green pastures? Probably not. Because a sheep that's lying down in a green pasture is content. A sheep that's lying down in green pastures is full and trusts that there's going to be some the next day. But sheep don't naturally lie down. I am told that sheep don't lie down for numerous reasons, many of which mirror our own lives if we're honest. First off, sheep don't lie down because they are scaredy cats. They're scared of predators, which I understand, but the smallest little thing can cause the whole herd to go running. A mouse, a squirrel, a cat, a dog that appears within the herd, one takes off, all of them take off because they think, oh, I'm going to die. I'm glad we aren't that way, right? We have a headache. We Google headache, and before we know it, we've diagnosed ourselves with a brain tumor. We're going to be gone by the end of January. So I'm glad we're not like sheep. I've got a headache. But they also refuse to lie down because of pride. Did you know that sheep argue with each other? Strife. They don't want somebody to butt them out of the way. Seriously. They want their status. They want their position, and they will not lie down in case some other sheep comes and takes their spot. Or they're always on the look for how they can take someone else's spot. There's strife among the sheep, and so they won't lie down. Again, I'm glad we're not that way. Not only that, but there's pests. They won't lay down because of pests. They're these bugs, these fleas, these gnats, these ticks, these worms. And if they're not taken care of properly, naturally, left to themselves, they're not going to lay down because of all these pests around them that they can't get to settle or leave them alone so they can lie down. So they're just constantly stressed and anxious about what's next. And I'm also told they can't lie down because of pasture. Why? Why pasture? Because they're scared to death they're not going to have food tomorrow. They're scared to death they're not going to be taken care of next week. They could be standing in a green pasture, but if they don't trust the shepherd or trust that they're going to be taken care of, they can make themselves sick eating, refusing to lie down because they don't think there's going to be anything tomorrow. And yet David says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He also says something else radical. He leads me beside the still waters. Again, can you imagine a sheep being led beside the still waters? That means they're quenched and they're able to be beside it. Sheep don't naturally do that. Sheep, when they see any sort of liquid, will just start lapping it up. It could be a rain puddle and dirt and stuff that other sheep have left, and they see liquid. They don't care. They think something is going to quench them, and so they're going to lap it up, not trusting that there's clean water somewhere else. And I'm glad we're not that way. We trust that what God offers us is the living water. We don't just lap up the stuff that we think is going to... Never mind. And then David says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, sheep are so dumb. And sorry, I probably shouldn't use the word dumb. See, sheep are so stupid. that they refuse on their own to go to a different path. Keller writes that he has seen sheep, depending on the shepherd that's over them, has seen sheep stay in one area with such a worn path that all the grass was gone, and because they refused to move somewhere else and they were comfortable where they are, secure where they were, they would start digging up the roots underneath the grass to get some food because they didn't want to move somewhere else. They're so comfortable where they are, they didn't want to go somewhere else. They're just like Baptists. Just like sheep. Don't want to be led. And Keller says the most important thing a shepherd can do is keep them on the move. It's fascinating to me. Because I think of these things and I'm like, that's me. I'm like that. As a matter of fact, Isaiah spoke from God's word. God said, write this. And Isaiah wrote, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. I read that, I'm like, yeah, that's me. That's me. I'm glad that's there. Paul, you know, the Apostle Paul who wrote half the New Testament? Listen to some of the things he wrote. I'm so glad Romans 7 is in the Bible because I resonate with this, and I bet you could too on some level. Romans 7, verse 15, Paul writes this, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. I'm like, me too.
And then in verse 18, he says, "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." Me too. And then he says in verse 19, "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." Me too. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, "I'm going to do good today." And before I go to bed, really before lunch, I'm a sheep. And Paul's writing this, and so am I. So how can David write this? No wonder I'm so anxious. No wonder I panic. No wonder I wonder if I'm going crazy. I want what David has. And church, I don't think David's lying. I don't think this is a dream. I think this is reality. And don't you think for a second that he's sitting in some ivory tower, different from us. This is the same David that every morning had to wonder if somebody was going to kill him. This was the same David that knew how to lust. This was the same David that knew how to lie. This was the same David that knew how to maneuver people so he could get more power. And yet, one day, he could write this. I'm going to read the first three verses again, and I want you to notice the personal pronouns. I want this. I want this for me. I want it for you. Look what he says. What he says. Verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I just imagine him writing it this way. The Lord, Yahweh, the God of Israel, the God of the Bible, that's my shepherd. Who's yours? I do. I imagine him writing that. I imagine him saying this to the community of Israel. "I have learned the secret to contentment. It's having Yahweh lead and guide me." It's as if he's saying the reason I wasn't content is because I looked to other things to shepherd me. I looked to other things to guide me. I looked to other things to care for me. I didn't trust that Yahweh would. The Lord, he's my shepherd, shall not be in want. Then he goes on to say what? "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." Most of us think when we surrender our lives to God that he's going to torture us and make our lives miserable. David said, no, he forces me to rest. He forces me to be content. He forces my soul to relax. "He leads me beside the still waters." I think that these waters are going to lap up my thirst and quench me, but no. What he says is what satisfies me. "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." What's David saying? It's all about who your shepherd is. And right now, your soul is being shepherded by something or someone. And the state of your soul is in direct proportion to who is shepherding you. David's given us the answer. Yahweh can be trusted. I don't have any wants because he is my shepherd. And I want you to begin, as we kick this series off, to begin to pray, "God, what am I looking to other than you to guide me, to shepherd me, to lead me?" I gave you 6 P's a while ago. 6 P's that I learned from Keller and just looking at these verses. And I want you to take a look at each of these, and I want you to ask yourself kind of, where's your default? Maybe there's one of these, maybe there's all of these that you struggle with from time to time or that lead to anxiety. But what's your default? What do you go to? What do you look to guide you? Maybe you do get the headache and you immediately begin to panic and think that it's over for you. Maybe there's these little things that scare you. What do you do to resolve that? What do you do to fix that? Who's your shepherd? Where are you going to guide you? Pride. Maybe there's strife in relationships in your life. Maybe you're wanting to one-up someone, or maybe you're scared that somebody's about to one-up you and you're going to lose your status. What do you go to fix it? Where? How do you try? Maybe it's you. Maybe you look to yourself. Maybe you look to a book. Maybe you look to a whatever, a self-help thing to fix it. And it's not Yahweh. It's not the Lord. No wonder our souls are a mess. And look at the pests. You say, well, what do you mean about pests? Well, think about it. How many times a day does your phone ding? How many times a day do you think I got to respond to that text? I got to respond to that email. I got to call that person back. I got to sit down and make sure I get back to this thing. I got to check my status. I got to see how many likes I've got. I got to make sure this picture turned out fine. Do you know, I read this week that I don't know if it's the number one, but one of the primary reasons we are struggling with mental illness today is social media. It's not just for younger kids either. It's for all generations. One of the primary reasons we are struggling with mental illness is because of social media. It's killing us. Social media has its place. I'm not preaching against it. But if you're not careful, you can be eat up with all these different things you got to get to and never have your soul at rest. And I'm reading of more and more people that are taking it away from their phone so they can get their life back. Are you able to get rid of the pests? Or the next one, pasture. What do you do when you're concerned you're not going to be taken care of next week or next month or next year or in 10 years? What do you do when you turn off CNN or Fox News or ABC or NBC? What do you do to massage your anxiety about the future? Who do you go to? Who do you trust in? What are you looking for? The right person to be reelected? Yeah, that'll do it. It's done it for 120, well, however many years. That'll fix it. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. Who are you looking to? Or what about what's parched? What are you going to quench that thirst? The Spirit's leading you to still waters, but you see this, and you're like, well, that looks like it'll taste good, but it leaves you sick. And then finally, what about those paths you don't want to move? You know God's leading you to a different path. You know God's telling you to do something. You know God's telling you what's right. You know God's telling you what's good, but this is where you're comfortable. This is what you've always done, and you're going to just die right here because you refuse to be moved to the right path. Who is your shepherd? And I want us to seriously ask ourselves and let the Spirit of God shine a light on us. Who am I looking to guide me outside of God, the God of the Bible, Israel, the God of Israel, Yahweh? It's interesting, in this psalm, in verse 3, there's this little phrase tucked in the middle of that. I don't know if you caught it or not, but he says, He restores my soul. Not David. David's not saying, I restore my soul. David knows he can't. David says, He restores my soul. About 20 chapters later in Psalm 42, David writes, Why are you cast down, O my soul? He knows what it was like for his soul to be downcast, to be cast down. But now he's saying, God restores it. Now think about that. You know, I told you earlier that sheep are dumb. Remember that? Did you know that if they lie down and start to turn over the wrong way, they end up on their back and they can't get up on their own? Morons. Go home later today and YouTube, just type in sheep on their back. Because of copyright laws, I couldn't show it. But it is hilarious. It's a little sad. And if you love animals, you'll probably be sad. But if you're like me and don't care, you'll just laugh. I mean, it is hilarious. They'll be on their side and they'll just relax and then they'll try to get up. Oh, and they can't on their own. They'll just start kicking, and they can't. It's pitiful. And I wonder how many of you have ever felt that way in your soul. I did it again. I'm so dumb. I can't fix it. This is ridiculous. And you kick and you try to get out of it and you just can't. And you kick a little bit more and you can't. What you think the shepherd will do when you're in that position says a lot about what you believe the God of the Bible, about the God of the Bible. What do you think the shepherd does when you have ignorantly found yourself on your back, helpless again? What you're thinking right now says a lot about what you understand about God. You know what a good shepherd does? A good shepherd is always on the lookout, always counting his sheep, always looking to see if one has wandered off, always looking to see if one has rolled over and can't get back up. Because if you don't get the sheep back on its feet soon, he'll die. And you know what Keller said about a good shepherd, what he'll do?
He goes and he runs as fast as he can, because if he knows he's got a sheep on his back, he doesn't have much time to waste. And he'll just run as hard and fast as he can. And he doesn't look over the sheep and said, "You idiot, get up. Come on, try harder. Look at those other sheep. They're going to the next pasture. Get up." That's not what he does. A good shepherd will bend down, slowly help him up, because if he's been down a while, he doesn't have blood flowing in his legs, and he'll sit there and he'll massage the legs of the sheep until he can walk. And then he points him to the herd. And did you know that Jesus told a story about how God, the good shepherd, if he has to, will leave the 99 and go rescue the one? What does God do when you're on your back and can't fix it? He restores your soul. You can't. He does. And church, Jesus even called himself the good shepherd. Not a shepherd. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, I'm a good shepherd. There's several out here you can choose from, but I'm one of them." No, he says, "I am the good shepherd." And here's what a good shepherd does. A good shepherd will lay his life down for his sheep. You want to know what God does when you have done sheep things? He runs after you and restores you. That's a God you can trust. Now, can you say, "He is your shepherd, you shall not want"? I'm going to invite the choir and the musicians back up. And here's how we're going to close today. We're going to close a little bit different. We're going to close by singing this psalm. We're going to close by singing this psalm. If you're having trouble memorizing Psalm 23, just get to know this song. It's amazing. This song will be in your head, and that's a really good thing. But while they're coming, I want to challenge you with this. Our worship service isn't over. This is a little bit different, but our worship service isn't over, okay? I want to invite you to respond. And by that I mean asking the Holy Spirit of God to bring to your mind areas of your life that you are looking to other than Him to shepherd you. Ask Him to bring those things to mind. He will. If your soul is not at rest, if your soul is not at ease, it's a voice in your heart saying, "You were made to be led. You're just being led by the wrong thing." And He's not out to get you. He's out to graciously guide you. And so can we just have this time of singing and of prayer and of doing business with the Lord where we say, "Show me what it looks like now to make you, Jesus, the one who gave his life for me, to follow you as my good shepherd." You may want to come to the altar and pray. I'll be standing down here. Would love to talk with you. You may need to sit where you are, or you may need to stand with everyone and say, "I'm going to sing this psalm as a prayer." But let's do business with the Lord, and may he reveal to us how to make him our shepherd. Jesus, do just that. You are the good shepherd. May we be able to say, because of what you do in our hearts, we shall not want. Amen.